Well, how's everybody today? I see some yawning out there, some with an eye closed here or there. Well, it's 8:53. You should be awake about now. And I hope that you'll be wide awake as we look at the Word today. We hope that you can open your mind, listen to what God's Word has for us today. Names are very important to us, aren't they? When you hear someone's name, what do you picture? Example, Abe Lincoln. What do you picture? William Shakespeare. Albert Einstein. Leonardo da Vinci. Thomas Edison, Walt Disney, Louis Pasteur, Henry Ford, Ronald Reagan, Michael Jordan, Adolf Hitler, Elvis Presley, Bob Hope, Mother Teresa, SpongeBob. These names conjure up different feelings and different emotions within us, depending upon our age, our education, and our cultural background. We visualize these people in different ways. But today I want to speak to you about another name, Jesus Christ. When you hear this name, what comes into your mind? Well, the name Jesus Christ is often misunderstood. For you see, the proper form is Jesus the Christ. Many do not know the meaning of his name. Some think Jesus is his first name and Christ is his last name. But when you read Scripture, you realize that biblical characters usually had only one name. Moses, David, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, Paul. You see, during these times, people did not use family or surnames. But their names may include a title or a characteristic. The name Jesus Christ is like that. You see, Jesus is his given name, and Christ is his title. Christ means Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One of God. And so this proper name is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Having the title of Christ or Messiah then connects Jesus directly with God. As Christians, we know Jesus as God in the flesh, the manifestation of God in human form. So who is this Jesus the Christ? Well, today's scriptural text that Luke read to us, it gives us some insight into who he is and what he does. For in this Colossians 1 passage, we have seven unique characteristics that qualify him as the supreme sovereign over all creation. As God, he is the supreme being. I want to share these seven unique characteristics of Jesus so that you may have a better understanding about him and allow yourself to draw closer to him and accept him as your Lord and as your Savior. The first characteristic, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now, the church at Colossae was having a problem. The problem was, who is this Jesus? Because there were people who were trying to import false prophecies, trying to teach them something different. For Gnosticism was creeping into the church. For it is a combination of philosophies of Greek and Oriental. It is believed that matter, that's everything we see and touch, is evil. And only spirit things are good. Since creation and mankind are matter, they believe these things were evil. So then the question came up about Christ. For the Gnostics could not accept the humanity of Jesus. They could not accept anything which was earthly or human. Because how could that be filled with a divine nature? So was he man? Or was he God? If Jesus was from God, then he really wasn't flesh and blood. But he was a spiritual phantom in bodily likeness. This is what they were trying to teach the people. But Paul, in his letter to the church, was combating this heresy. And this first characteristic, Paul says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. The word image here is more than a likeness. It represents a representation or a manifestation. He was a reproduction with precise likeness. Jesus himself told of his relationship with God the Father when he said in John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen what? Seen the Father. Paul spoke of the invisible God, but Christ is the perfect, visible flesh and blood representation of God. So here, Paul first shows Christ in his relationship with God the Father. He is the image, the precise likeness of God. For he said, I and the Father are one. Well, the second characteristic we see is Christ's supremacy with respect to creation. Verse 15 of our text says, he is a firstborn over all creation. Now, the term firstborn means absolutely first. Absolutely first with respect to creation. Christ has always existed with God, and firstborn implies sovereignty. He has priority over all creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus was part of that creation. He was there in the beginning with the Father. How do we know that? Well, John 1, verses 2 and 3 testifies to this. It says, he, Christ, was with God in the beginning. And through him, all things were made. Christ existed before creation. Now, some people believe, well, Christ only came as a babe when he was born in Bethlehem. No, that was for his physical appearance. But he was with God in the beginning. And this leads to the third characteristic, which says Jesus was the Creator. Verse 16 says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him, and get this, and for him. Paul told the Colossians that Jesus, as part of the Godhead, made this matter that the Gnostics deemed evil. And it was God then who pronounced that all things were made as being good, thereby overcoming that Gnostic problem of creation and mankind as being evil. Jesus created the entire universe, the hierarchy of angelic beings, the thrones, the powers, the rulers, the authorities of the spirit world in which Christ reigns supreme. For Jesus is the creator of all things. Fourth, Christ is the head of the body, the church. The reference here is to the invisible or the universal church. Just not the Methodist church or the Presbyterian church, but the church universal. For the church originated with Christ. It is his doing and not ours. And the church depends on Christ for the source of energy and the source of power. He is the head. And not merely as the most important member, but rather in a sense that all forces of the body are brought together by him. Christ, as the head of the church, then energizes the body, giving the church life, giving the church power. For he was the head of the church. Fifth, Christ is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Christ was the first to rise from the dead with an immortal body, and as such is the firstborn of the resurrected. Christ's resurrection marked his triumph over death. He became the first fruits of those who die and who will never die again. He who became flesh and blood humbled himself at the cross and is now exalted by the Father and given the name that is above every name. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is Jesus. This is well documented by Paul in the second chapter of Philippians when he says, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in his appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Christ is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Now, some people say, well, wasn't Lazarus? Didn't he die and wasn't he raised back up again? Yes, but he was given back his own mortal life later to die again. But Christ is the first to be raised up with a new immortal body to live for eternity. The sixth characteristic is all of God's fullness dwells in him. You know, for me, this 19th verse is the most powerful description of Christ's deity. It says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. The key word here is fullness, meaning completeness, nothing lacking. All of God's being, all of God's grace was in Christ and is there to dwell permanently. All that is of God is in Jesus. This is why it's so important to love and to honor, to obey and worship, to look at Jesus as God, God the Son. He lived amongst us, and he loved us so much that he died for us. For Jesus is God. And then the seventh characteristic is that he is the reconciler. In that last verse of our text, verse 20, through Christ, God will reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It is important to note that people are reconciled to God, not God reconciled to us. It is mankind who has sinned. It is mankind who has left God and needs to be brought back to him. And this is the mission then of Christ. For he came to seek and to save those that are lost. He accomplished this by giving himself and allowing his body to be offered and his blood to be shed. Jesus came to seek you. He came to seek me and to bring us back to God. By dying on the cross, he took our sin. He paid the penalty for our sin. We are forgiven, we are cleansed, and we are reconciled to God. For then by our faith, by the confession of our sin and accepting him as Lord and Savior, we are the people of God. Paul has given us something to think about. For this passage of Scripture is deep with the theology of Christ. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And by him, all things were created. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. In him, all of God's fullness dwells. And through him, God reconciles to himself all things, all of creation, you and me. You see, the world takes the name of Jesus Christ. They take it in vain. They use it as in their cursing. So what does Jesus Christ mean to you? When you hear his name, do you think of these seven characteristics of who Christ is? So how should we react when we hear the name Jesus? Let me share those last verses of Philippians 2. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Great question. It's only one that you can answer. Join me in prayer. Gracious God, may each of us react to that name of Jesus by believing and accepting Him as Lord and Savior. Amen.